The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hello, Dr. Ray.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You're right on track with this. You're right on track.
My idea, my theory, my guidance is a bit of a stretch.
Everybody make a mistake.
Does that comfort you?
No.
Am I close?
No.
You are so wrong.
You're so wonderful.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
Someone intelligent on radio. Yay!
Did I make you feel a lot better or what?
No, you made me feel worse.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Sometimes growth comes from feeling worse first before you can feel better. Kind of that way with everything, isn't it? This happened to me yesterday. I was reading the sports page. I saw this story about this absolutely beautiful sweetheart of an actress who is engaged to a football player known for his head case behavior and his dumbness and his out-and-out fighting in-your-face attitude. And I said to my friends, I will never understand why the biggest jerks get the most beautiful women. And I said that to my wife, Randy. She looked at me. She said, why, thank you, Raymond. I don't know what she meant by that. I'll have to think about that one. This is the Doctor Is In version e-person Monday, where we found a way. We have to do this. This is the only way we can get through what used to be a stack of e-persons coming in. Many people don't want to go on the air because they're shy. Or because they say people listen. And I always write them back and I say, wait a minute. I got about 140 listeners. That's about 3 a state per state. The odds of anybody you know listening are minuscule. It's like sinking a putt from here to Jupiter. Nevertheless, they don't want to go on the air. So they e-person. Now, for me to type, I can backspace at close to 90 words a minute. But for me to type, well, I played the organ. I played professionally for many years. People think, well, you should be able to type then. No, because I keep hitting chords on the computer. So I ask them to call the program. Most do not. They send an e-person. And I select these e-persons. We get a lot more e-persons than I can put on the air. And it's amazing because it must be the same 140 people writing. However, I devote the day to that. It gets their own day of the week. But I never want to give up my monologue. I think I talked about this. Well, a friend of mine said, when you look back on something that happened in the past, and you think, oh, that must have been 3 years ago, double it. Because it was probably 6 years ago. Or someone will say to me, I first heard you speak, you came to our women's group 9 years ago. I'll think it was probably 18 years ago when I was in middle school. So, I talked about this, and I'm going to say 2 years ago, but it was probably 4 years ago. I personally think this is one of the most self-flagellating things that a parent can say about him or herself. Now, mostly I hear this from moms. And I don't know why exactly that is, but most of the time, I'd have to say 4 out of 5 times, sounds like a commercial, 4 out of 5 mothers say this. I said self-flagellating. One could use the word dumb, because it's a put-down. It is a self-put-down. Let's just say that mom describes to me the verbal battles, the conflict, the friction, the turbulence that she engages in with a daughter. And it's usually a daughter. Verbal, kind of roughhousing, not getting along. Mom will describe this, and then she will follow with something like, I think part of the problem is we're just too much alike. We butt heads. We're too much like each other. Now let's dissect that statement. For mom to be too much like a 12-year-old, does that mean the 12-year-old has the maturity level of her 39-year-old mother? Or does that mean the 39-year-old mother has the maturity level of a 12-year-old adolescent girl? We're too much alike. Does that mean when the daughter argues with me, I argue back? Does that mean the daughter is willful and wants what she wants, and I'm willful because I'm the parent. I don't want her to want that because that's not good for her. This is one of those mindless cliches that is really, at the very best, it's meaningless. At the very worst, it's a self-put-down. Well, we fight all the time. We're too much alike. Ouch! You don't want to be too much alike a child, too much like a child who gives you grief, do you? What that really means is that you're getting down on his or her level. That's what it means. If the child is getting nasty with her tone, you get nasty with the tone back. If the child's arguing, you argue back. If the child's refusing, you push back. Too much alike. That's an unsettling thing to say. It essentially means I'm not the more mature one in this relationship. I'm not the parent. I'm not the grown-up. I'm the one who gets down on the level of this child. The child has an excuse to be like that. She's a child. She wants what she wants, and she's going to do what she can do to try to get it. I mean, that's the human fallen condition. It's up to the parent not to be like that. It's up to the parent not to engage in the same kind of battle. If the child is getting disrespectful, what's the parent going to do about it? The parent's not going to get disrespectful back. If the child is arguing, what's the parent going to do about it? The parent going to argue back? Because all of that conveys the impression we're the same. I'm on your level. Whatever you do, I do back. We're too much alike. Now, I will tell you, I hear that a lot. This is not some isolated description that once every 2.5 years I'll hear a parent say. No. It is held up as an explanation for why I am battling with a child. It's not because I'm not asserting my parental authority and acting with calm, confident discipline. That's not it. The reason that this child is acting this way is because our personalities are the same. She wants what she wants and I want what I want. She's stubborn, I'm stubborn. She's willful, I'm willful. She argues, I argue. We are just so much alike. The implication also is, what do you expect? It's genetic, Dr. Ray. That's blood of my blood, genes of my genes. Well, if you're going to say that, why don't you just say, well, she's too much like her father. That's the problem. Of course, I do hear that too, by the way, but not as much. And, as I said, not at the risk of being sexist, which has nothing to do with it. We can't even talk reality here without being accused of some ism or ISTS thing. I hear it most often from a mom regarding a daughter. The daughter is verbal. The daughter uses a lot of words, a lot of negotiation, a lot of arguing, a lot of comebacks, perhaps a lot of disrespect. And the mother engages in like verbal battles. It's not that you're too much alike. It's that you are alike in your style. And you don't want to do that as a parent. You don't have to engage with the same verbal weapons that the child is using. You're the parent. You have the leverage, you have the control, you have the consequences. You're the one who can set the conditions and back them up. The child can't. Child can't say, Mom, if you don't let me do that, I'm taking the car from you. Child can't do that. You can.
Of course, maybe if the child did do that, you really would be alike. So, I was going to read a couple of these emails that really just came in. I usually go back as far as I can because there's no longer a stack. Now it's all on my phone. So I go back, and some of these emails go back 2-3 months, which, according to my timetable, is 4 to 6 months, if you double it. But I'm going to take this one because this is relatively recent, and it was interesting. And it taps into an area that I have had great interest in, and that's physical fitness and healthy eating. And there's a lot of reasons for this. I would say the physical fitness started when I was in college, but the healthy eating started probably about 15 years ago, which means 30 years ago. We'll see what Jackie has to say about this, because she kind of disagrees with how I handle an earlier call, but she disagrees in a beautiful way. She's very sweet about it. I'm Dr. Ray.
Don't touch that dial. Dr. Ray will be back.
It's strawberry season, so come join the fun at St. Anthony Strawberry Festival in Belleville, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, June 15th to the 17th. Featuring delicious strawberry desserts, food, crafts, entertainment, and more. The festival's on church grounds at 409 West Columbia Avenue. Phone 734-697-1211. It's a great way to spend time with Dad for Father's Day. Google St. Anthony Belleville for details. That's St. Anthony Belleville. See you there.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company, and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Our individual and corporate relationships with the Lord, our relationship to the church, the precepts of the church, our relationships with the world and the culture that surrounds us. Father Ricardo discusses these things and more, all from the Catholic perspective on Christ is the answer. Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Here. Thank you for joining me on the Doctor's In Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, co-production of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Ave Maria Radio Communications TV show Living Right with Dr. Ray in season number 7 on the EWTN Global Catholic Television Network. The program here is heard on some 400 some stations throughout the U.S. as well as Sirius Channel 130. They edit a lot of what I say on Sirius because they think it's humorous, so they don't want humor on Sirius. Well, still, most of it comes through. It's E-Person Monday where we tackle the E-Persons. Actually, I'm too old to play tackle football anymore. I did play tackle until I was about 30. Then we went to flag football. This is from Jackie. I'm listening to your show live, Dr. Ray. Regarding the kiddo with the weight gain, I took a call a few weeks back, on a young man who was 12 years old and approximately sounded like about 30 pounds overweight, which is significant for 12. He's only about 4'10", and he weighed 120. Okay, that's pretty significantly overweight. And mom was unsure what to do. She was squeamish about the idea that she didn't want to make the weight
a problem in the sense that if she reminded him of it or she talked about it too much, he would become feeling, she said he's a sensitive guy, and so this would have all kinds of psychological ramifications. So I took this from the point of perspective, of course, of a health issue. It's not a matter of I'm doing this because I'm commenting on the inappropriateness of your body shape. It's because your health is at stake. This is not good for somebody this young. And if you look at the statistics, the chances of overweight, a significantly overweight adolescent becoming an overweight adult is very good. It's not the old, well, they'll outgrow, but once they hit their growth spurt. That can't happen. But it also doesn't happen. And so I talked to Mom about how she's going to approach her son and view this as a health issue, a health matter, and what kinds of things she can do regarding his weight. And I said, one of the things you do is you have to have an ongoing scale. You got to have a scale. Scale doesn't lie. And you can tie privileges to the weight loss. Now, Jackie says this. I agree that parents need to model good eating habits for the kids. Well, okay. And I know what she means by model good eating habits, but if she means that we as adults eat well, therefore our children will imitate us, that doesn't work. It really does come down to what kinds of foods you have in your house, what you prepare for meals, the proportion sizes, and how much snacking you allow. It all comes down to that. It truly does. I love the Golden Corral. Nobody that I know that's female will go to the Golden Corral. My wife will. It's one of the reasons I married her. She's the only girl I ever dated that would go to the Golden Corral. She says, I agree the parents need to model good eating habits for the kids, and that includes restricting foods, educating about what and why something is or is not healthy. Okay. Then she says, now here's where we can dispute. But if you have a kid who needs to lose weight, I would tie incentives to fitness goals rather than to weight loss. How long does it take to finish a mile? Help him train to improve that time by a certain date. Weight loss will then come as a side effect, but the fitness is what truly reduces the health risks. And then she's so sweet, she says, I love you, Dr. Ray. Okay, Jackie, a couple things on this. One, I obviously, if I had a chance to talk to Mom who called in and we talked for 2 hours, we could talk about all kinds of variables in this young man's fitness lifestyle. The important thing initially was the weight loss. And it is easier for a parent to monitor the foodstuffs and how and when and what kinds than it is to get a kid to exercise. It just is. And most people will tell you that who are losing weight. The fitness, you're absolutely correct. Fitness has phenomenal health benefits. The more research that's coming out, the more it's saying it just benefits everything. Cardiac, neurology, mood, everything. Strength, joints, arthritis, everything. Fitness is a huge factor. You almost can't play it up enough. However, for this little 12-year-old boy to lose weight, predominantly by fitness goals, the reason I didn't approach that first is because to lose weight by exercising, you have to be intense. You have to exercise with at least a moderate level. An hour a day, minimum. You just can't exercise off enough calories. What you can do with exercise, okay. There's two huge benefits regarding weight loss from exercising. One, if the exercise is weight training, you build up muscle tissue. So, in fact, you might not lose quite the amount of weight that you think because you are watching what you eat. You're cutting back. And interestingly enough, okay, let me just digress here for a second. Interestingly enough, for most people, they don't have to diet. They don't have to cut back significantly. What they have to do is get back to a healthy level of eating. because as they're gaining weight, they're eating too much. Scale doesn't lie. Too much input, not enough output. So, indeed, all they have to do, if they find, many people find, you just have to go back to a level of moderately healthy eating as opposed to, I got to starve myself. Okay, that's one. So the muscle tissue burns calories just to exist. When I was a graduating senior in high school, I weighed 155 pounds. I was lean. My freshman year of college, I started lifting weights. And I weighed about 175 throughout most of my weightlifting days. I'm about 170 right now. So I added about 20 pounds worth of muscle. The average pound of muscle needs 50 calories a day to exist. At metabolic rest, a muscle pound needs 50. So if you add, say, 5 pounds of muscle to your frame, which is not that hard to do, you need 250 more calories a day just to fuel that muscle at rest, not counting if you use it. So that is a major factor. The other thing is that there is such a thing, and this was big for a while back, with set points. A set point essentially says your body will fight you. If you go on a 1,200 calorie a day diet, initially you'll lose weight fast. The water weight will go off real quick. In the first week, you'll lose 4 or 5 pounds. You'll think, wow, this is easy. And then by about week number six, if you're losing a pound, you're going, what's going on here? I only lost a pound last week. Wow, what? Part of it is your body tends to slow down its metabolism to compensate. If you're only going to give me 1,200 calories a day, I'm going to have to make do with 1,200 calories a day, and I'm going to start slowing down metabolically. So exercise burns calories. And in that sense, it kind of, what the exercise gurus and researchers would say, it resets the set point. Makes it up higher. So the reason, Jackie, I didn't focus on the fitness aspect is, one, the 12-year-old's probable motivation. That was a factor. And two, the fact that he wouldn't exercise enough to lose weight. The main weight loss always comes from cutting intake. Not to say the fitness isn't a huge factor, but to lose weight, the main cause of a weight drop is healthier, better eating. All right, let's go to... let's go to Maria. Okay, Maria has a 17-year-old son who is on the autistic spectrum. She says he is high functioning. And I've always been perplexed about this. I've always wanted to get into more detail when someone has gotten the diagnosis of autistic spectrum high functioning. What does that mean? You know, my experience has been that sometimes it just means they're a little quirky. They're socially a little inept. Or they don't relate well. There are certain personality characteristics that are maybe off-putting or not real mature. Because when somebody says he's high-functioning, for me it raises the question then, well, what exactly is it that got him the diagnoses? Because much of the time on an autistic spectrum, the functioning is impaired. Okay? So we're going to find out what exactly Maria's question is about her 17-year-old son. And by the way, this is something that is common among parents of older teens. When the parent wants this to happen and the teen doesn't.
The Divine Mercy Center in Clinton Township celebrates Divine Mercy Sunday, April 8th. Doors open at 1, followed by confessions, Holy Rosary, Chapel of Divine Mercy, and a talk by Catherine Lonnie, as well as a prayer ministry for healing. Then on Friday, May 18th, they're hosting their 5th annual Mission of Mercy fundraiser, with Holy Mass celebrated by Bishop Gerald Batterby at 6 p.m. For additional information, call 586-777-8591 or visit their website, sjdivinemercy.org.
Are you tired of how your faith is represented in the mainstream media? Stop getting your Catholic news from secular sources and get it from a trusted, local Catholic source instead. At the Michigan Catholic Newspaper, we're Catholic, and we cover your Catholic Church in a way that only Catholics could. So the same reason you listen to Ave Maria Radio, get the Michigan Catholic for only $24 a year by calling 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.org.
All professions require constant learning. I'm a communications evangelist and strategist, and I have to stay abreast of public relations and media relations, for instance. There's continued education in teaching, real estate, mortgage lending, medicine, the list goes on. But what about continued learners of faith? Does it stop after a Catholic school or CCD? And if you're a convert to the faith, do you stop studying once you've finished RCIA? No. Our faith is a journey, and one that will lead us home to our Father in heaven. In various situations in life, I've had to remind myself that I'm a God girl first, a phrase I hope to be a title of a book I pen someday. But to put God first, we all must know what the teacher is teaching. So keep studying the faith. Ave Maria Catholic Radio is our classroom. Stay tuned in and share with others and learn what the Lord is trying to teach you. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
Cool as you're going to get on this program. That is major cool, Andrew. Finding good, good stuff. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. This is E-Person Monday, where we used to dive through the stack of E-Persons that we would get from folks. Now we scroll through the phone. I'm learning how to do it, though. This is from Maria. She's truly, truly frustrated over her 17-year-old son who refuses, absolutely refuses, to cooperate on what Maria believes is a significant issue. There are so many directions to go on this, some of which will be speculation on my part and others of which will be more, I think, solidly based in observations of similar situations. I have a 17-year-old son who is on the autism spectrum. He is high functioning, and I talked about this before the break. I'm always a little more confused about exactly what it is about an individual who has been placed on the autistic spectrum by someone, although he is high functioning. What does high functioning mean? How high functioning? Are we talking intellect? What personality characteristics and developmental quirks are there that would get this? He has a lot of anger. To me, that is a flag. When a parent says a child has a lot of anger, most of the time it means that the child doesn't like when things don't go as he would wish. Either socially, parental rules, the anger comes out mostly when the child is thwarted. I found out he asked a girl on his birthday to go to the junior prom. She said no. He's heartbroken over this. Obviously, he's taking it personally. He feels everyone hates him, and he is depressed. His best friend says he isn't smart. He also said, I'm assuming she's alluding to her son's best friend, the best friend said he cuts himself. And he has made small cuts on himself. I found all of this out from a text on his phone, which he is upset about because I looked.
at his phone. I went to his school counselor social worker, told her all of this. She met with him, told him he needs to go for counseling outside of school, and he refuses. How can I get him to go to counseling when he refuses? He was in counseling years ago with different counselors, and no one helped him. Oh, boy, Maria! Okay, if I were to guess, I would guess that you have had a lot of problems managing this young man. You said he has anger. He's been to counseling many, many times with different counselors. And therefore, there have probably been behavior, discipline, social management problems. Two, then one of those counselors somewhere probably diagnosed him as high-functioning on the autistic spectrum. The counselors, quote-unquote, didn't help him. Maria, he has to cooperate with them. They can't do anything to help him live better if he's not going to work with them. And unfortunately, behavior problem adolescents are among some of the worst candidates for individual therapy. In their view, the world is wrong. Their parents are wrong. If they could do what they wanted, they'd be better. They'd be happier. So I would suspect that is some of the dynamics that is going on. Your question at the end was, I would appreciate any ideas on how to get him to go to counseling. Now, I wrote back to Maria very quickly because I really can't write back on most of the email. Dear Maria, if you believe he needs to go to counseling, then he needs to go to counseling. And I was hoping she could read between the lines. Because obviously she does believe he needs to go to counseling, but she can't get him to go there. She wrote me back. Yes, I agree. But the whole problem is he refuses to go. He is 17, weighs 240 pounds, and is 6'5". That is why I was asking for suggestions on how to get him to go when he refuses. A parent has all the leverage that she needs. Now, notice the absent any allusion to a dad. I don't know if there's a dad on the scene. I don't know if the dad's involved. I don't know if Maria just didn't mention dad because they're both on the same page. I don't know. But it's usually significant when the father's not mentioned for some reason. The parent has all the leverage. For example, that boy has a cell phone. Okay. Well, you don't go to counseling, you don't have a cell phone. You don't go to counseling, you don't drive. You don't go to counseling, you don't play video games. You don't go to counseling, you can't go anywhere. The parent has to say, this is what I expect. Now, what I'm sensing is that the kid kind of runs things. If he is on the autistic spectrum, then he probably is having a harder time navigating our social culture. This is not an easy culture to navigate for kids. Even the most well put together kids, neurologically speaking, have trouble navigating this culture with its seductions and its demands and its temptations and its options and its entertainment and its pleasures. It's very tough for an immature person, read child, adolescent, teen, to navigate the culture well. If you have someone who, neurologically speaking, isn't exactly adept at thinking through how to navigate the social scene. I mean, one girl refused him and he was thrown for a loop. Okay, obviously he didn't think it through, not all girls are going to like me. I got that. Shoot, I was turned down by 15 girls my senior prom. 15! I'm not making it up. 15! In a row. Maybe it's because I decided to go 2 minutes before prom, but nevertheless. That's got to be some kind of record. So she's saying, I can't get him to go. Well, yeah, of course you can. But here's the question. Would it make any difference anyway? You've already said he's gone to counseling a bunch of times. See, Marie, if you were to call me, I'd say, I think I want to talk to you. I want to find out what the dynamics are at home, what the history of the dynamics have been, what it is that this child is causing this kind of trouble for himself and for you and for the family. What is going on? How long has it been going on, and what can we do about it now? That's the angle I would take. In terms of him going to counseling, I could refer you to somebody, but I personally would not probably see him.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investment funds that it designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. Six different Ave Maria Mutual Funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives, smart investing, and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
On the Saturday before the March for Life, the Archdiocese of Detroit held the Life is a Gift Conference. One of the speakers was Mother Teresa's cardiologist, who shared a few of his experiences.
So I thought to myself, this is a trick question, and I better really emphasize to her how busy I am, because I didn't want to lie to her and tell her I prayed. So I said, Mother, I don't pray during the day because I don't have time to pray. She said, what do you do? And I said, well, in the morning I do six catheterizations. In the afternoon I make rounds at the hospital. I see new patients. I see emergencies. I run back to the office. She said, then, Dr. Paul, you don't know how to pray. Let me teach you how to pray.
On our next program, I'll begin to share some of the pro-life talks from the Life is a Gift Conference. We'll hear from Archbishop Alan Vigneron, Dr. Paul Wright, and two couples with special needs children. Listen to Putting on the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
The first 5 years of marriage can be a roller coaster. Regardless of how long you and your spouse knew each other before the big day, marriage changes everything. For better, or sometimes for worse. Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. If you're a newlywed or someone you love is getting married, check out our book, Just Married, A Catholic Guide to Surviving and Thriving in the First 5 Years of Marriage. You can find it on the online store at AveMariaRadio.net.
Greg Garendi, thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock. This is E-Person Monday, and I say E-Person because I want to be linguistically sensitive. Although it's very hard for me to keep up with the ever-changing language rules. Once again, related. I believe all this, so much of this stuff is related to the whole self-image movement. You can't use any appellation of me that I don't like. That's right. If you use the wrong term in referring to me, I'm going to be upset. You have to respect me. It's so pervasive. It's from Amory. My daughter is a 15-year-old freshman in a Catholic high school. My family and I are cradle Catholics. In addition to the Catholic schools they've attended, our three children have been taught the faith at home. We recently caught her with a vaping device. She claimed it wasn't hers. That's funny. Let's see. I would say when a child gets caught with some illicit object, what percentage of the time is it truly not theirs? I think it's roughly 0.0000002% maybe of the time is not theirs. All right, I exaggerate, but you get the drift. She was also caught shoplifting. 2 weeks before we caught her with the vaping device. And Anne Marie says, related? Yes, it is related in my opinion, Anne Marie, but not in the way you think. I think it's related in it is part of a picture that for whatever the reason, your daughter is living counter to a lot of the things you've been trying to teach her, and she's doing it very surreptitiously, under your radar. She's staying low. These two incidents came out of left field, as we thought our daughter had a better sense of right and wrong. You know, so many parents get cold-cocked because they find out a stunt that the kid has pulled, and it's not an isolated stunt. As they start to pull on the threads of the sweater, all of a sudden there are all other threads that start happening. Simple rule. The first time you catch a teen doing something immoral, asocial, problematic, and you caught him, it's almost always not the first time. It's the first time you caught him. These two incidents came out of left field. They did probably because you weren't aware. My guess would be, now I can't know this, but my guess would be that your daughter's kind of been living a little bit of a secret life. Anne Marie says this. She'd obviously been hanging out with the wrong friend group, giving in to peer pressure. All right, now this raises two issues here, Anne Marie. One, how long? And two, why is she attracted to them? If you felt she had an obvious sense of right or wrong, why would she be attracted to that group? A lot of times parents will say, well, they're hanging around with the wrong kids, and that's why they're misbehaving. Sometimes the chicken comes first, which is, I really want to misbehave, and I'm attracted to kids who do misbehave. After we initially busted her for the vape, she brought another e-cigarette home 4 days later and used it in her room. You see? That you caught her was not the first time. This is a pattern. This is part of a below-the-radar, I'm going to do what I want to do, Mom. The vape fell out of her clothes as we passed each other on the stairway. Divine timing, if you ask me, says Anne Marie. Since the shoplifting incident, we'd taken away her phone and her social life. Now the loss of those privileges has been extended further. Here's part of the thing. Okay, kid's 15 years old. And obviously she's probably got a smartphone, not a flip phone. Ah, she would gag to use a flip phone. Smartphone is what she's got. Unfortunately, a smartphone is a great avenue to doing things if one is so predisposed to walk away from the morals they've been raised with. It's an avenue. It's there. It's not an avenue. It's a thoroughfare. A fast-moving, speed-limitless thoroughfare. We are currently looking into alternative schooling. You might think we are taking it too far, but honestly, for a school that charges $17,000 a year, we are getting mediocre teaching and a school that seems to have no idea how to handle the vaping problem. Well, if indeed you're paying $17,000 a year for a school that you do not believe is truly teaching her the faith, then why are you doing it? Now, our daughter promised that she wouldn't vape or shoplift anymore, and she's passed the last two nicotine tests we've given her. But her response to changing schools is, everybody does it, Mom. It doesn't matter where you send me. Anne Marie, you hear what she's saying? She's saying, Mom, this is the way it is. And this is what I want to do. And I'm living with parents who don't want me to do that. And I don't agree with you. So you're going to have to catch me. because I think you're unreasonable. I think you're too controlling. I think you're narrow. And furthermore, everybody I know lives counter to what you teach. And their parents most of the time know it and don't seem to get bent out of shape over it, Mom. Now, that's what I really think she is saying. So, Anne-Marie, I think here's the question facing you. At age 15, and let's hope this is just all short-term stuff, your daughter has told you, through her conduct, she does not agree with a lot of the direction you're trying to raise her. She would rather be pulled toward what the peer group as a whole is doing. You are wrong. You're unreasonable. You're going to have to recalculate, as the GPS would say, and recognize that she can't be trusted like you thought she could. She can't. It's the way it is. You're going to have to keep a closer eye on her, because if you don't, she'll do things. If you let her, for example, go to football games alone or basketball games alone or go out with her friends alone, there's a very good chance she's going to do things that aren't going to the library. Dr. Ray, are we overreacting? We want to believe her. Well, of course you do. This is your kid. And this is a problem for a lot of parents, because I don't want to think that you're going in this direction. I want to think that this is just kind of blips in the radar, as opposed to you being under the radar. I got that. I did. When some of my kids pull stunts, I wanted to think the same thing. And then as the reality comes in closer, which is, no, I'm not overreacting. I underestimated what's been going on for quite a while. And I would say, Anne-Marie, talk to her brothers. They know. Even if our daughter is telling us the truth and never touches another e-cigarette. Anne-Marie, I'm going to throw this thought in for you. I don't think the e-cigarette's your main worry. That's just a sign. That's a symptom. I think your main worry is moral living differently than what you raised her with. I think shoplifting is much more serious than an e-cigarette. And this girl doesn't need to shoplift. She has pretty much everything she needs. So shoplifting basically says, I want it. We can't trust, Dr. Ray, that the Catholic school is the best environment for her. Our daughter is the youngest, and right now she is making her older brothers look like angels. Talk to her older brothers, Anne-Marie. I think you'll hear things. Siblings know a lot more than the parents know often. This is also the first time we've had to deal with anything like this. Well, good. Count your blessings. That's very, very good, Anne-Marie. But there is so much of this out there where the kids want to do what the culture and the peer group says is cool to do, and you parents are troglodytes that are just standing in the way, and they've got to figure out a way to get around you. My husband and I would appreciate any and all advice you can give. Well, I think I gave a few thoughts. I'd also suggest my book, Good Discipline, Great Teens. It is 70 of the most common discipline questions I get asked in that age group. It deals with respect. It deals with supervision. It deals with peers. It deals with technology. It deals with the nature of the beast. It deals with parental unity. All the stuff that crops up during those teenage years. Anne-Marie, thank you. This is Dr. Ray.
I'm a doctor, not a coal miner.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, and I knew you'd follow through. You seem like an honest guy.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Are you fed up with the current healthcare system, paying too much for your healthcare costs? Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. Visit SolidarityHealthShare.org to join like-minded Catholics in sharing medical expenses.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. This month we observe Father's Day. We thank God for faithful fathers who, like God Himself, give and protect life. Let's also pray for fathers who are afraid to be fathers. Thousands of times a day, children are aborted, not because of a choice of the mother, but because of the choice of a father who fails to show the faithfulness and willingness to protect the child he has helped conceive. At other times, fathers tried to stop the abortion, but the law excludes them from the final decision about the abortion. Men do suffer grief after the abortion of their child. This month, Priests for Life is raising awareness of that through our initiative, Healing the Shockwaves of Abortion. Find out more at abortionshockwaves.com. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. Six different Ave Maria Mutual Funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives, smart investing, and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Dr. Ray Garetti here. I was looking for a particular e-person that I could answer rather quickly. I had to go through about five of them because they all brought up various issues to tackle. But here's one. This is from Melissa, the usual feminine appellation. Hi, Dr. Ray. Is it wrong to choose to homeschool one of your kids for high school because there are trust and communication issues? Okay, I don't have much time left. Melissa? No. However, I think the deeper question is, why did you need my opinion on that? Your mom, if you think something is good for your child's well-being, then you're the one, by and large, who knows and has the authority to do that. She is also immature and not where her peers are, and we want to protect her innocence as well. If you got a kid who's not navigating high school well because of a particular personality type, and you say, this is a kid, I'm going to homeschool, the others we didn't have to because they were more capable of navigating it. Okay. Where is it written, Melissa, that you have to educate all of them along the same track? You have to do that. Your parental decisions are based upon what is best for the kid as opposed to equal treatment across the board in all ways. Here you go. Our family thinks that would be unfair. There you go. That she would be the only one homeschooled. Your family can have their opinion. It's irrelevant. You know your daughter. You know what you want to do. What do you mean it's unfair? You've said the child is not doing well. One of my daughters we sent to school, and we, within a year, brought her back home. My son, we didn't. He was navigating it. She wasn't. It's all we needed to know. The family's influenced you. Once again, equal treatment for all, no matter what, no matter personality, no matter intellect, no matter maturity, no matter morality. My family thinks that having trust and communication should have no influence on our decision to not send her to a public high school. Are you kidding me? It'd be among the main influences. Trust? Trust means morals. It means she's capable of doing things that could hurt herself. I would think that would be a main reason to say she's not doing well in school, we're gonna homeschool. The decision, Melissa, is yours. Your and your husband's, if you're married. And it is predicated not on the fact that the others didn't get homeschooled, and it's not predicated on the fact that the others are of
a different age. It's predicated upon the fact that you've made a decision about your daughter's moral maturity and trustworthiness, and you've decided that this is the better course. Does that mean it'll work out? I don't know. But you have to make that judgment, because you're the parent. I'm Dr. A, and I thank you so much for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Thank you, Andrew Krucek, for that work on your end. And I appreciate all the company. Walk with God. Hold your kids tightly by the hand.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.